And we're here with Nancy Martin. She's currently in transition and a job seeker. Nancy, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and certainly I've known you for a number of years, and you've been out there looking for a job now for about 6 months. Is that correct?
5 months today.
5 months today. Well, you know, one of the things that, since we're talking to HR professionals and business owners out there, one of the things that we talk about with job seekers is what it really takes to find a job and what it really takes to deal with the unemployment part of what's going on. And, you know, one of the things that I think that I'd like to talk to you about is HR professionals are busy people, okay? And so they are calling you, setting up interviews, doing things that they need to do. But there are sometimes things that they may not think about of how it affects the unemployed individual out there. So could you give me an example maybe of what you think are some of the things that HR professionals should think about or recruiters should think about when they're talking to someone who's maybe out there looking for a job?
Sure. We can start with sort of in the middle. Once a candidate has already had an interview, typically the last question a candidate will ask, or perhaps the information is given without asking, is what the next step will be and what the timeline will be. I've never found that timeline to be accurate. It's always been longer than that. And that, from a candidate standpoint, that can be frustrating. Because then you're thinking, should I contact? Shouldn't I contact? I don't want to seem too eager. I don't want to seem I'm not interested at all. And it becomes very frustrating from a candidate standpoint. I've learned to add a week to it now, but it took me a few months to realize I need to add that extra time.
And do you think that the shortened amount of time or the perspective you would think is that they're trying to be like, we're going to get through this process, but the reality is it's probably longer, we're going to take longer because decisions need to be made?
Yes. I think they probably believe that they'll be able to get back to you in a week, but they don't. And if you have an indication or a feeling that you are that they've been interviewing for this position for a while, a lot of times you can tell how long a position has been posted. Sometimes you feel they should already know they're not going to be able to make that deadline, and they should be adding an extra week. There's no harm in saying it's going to be 2 weeks when we reach out to you again and it becomes one, but it's more harmful when they say it's going to take 1 week and it ends up taking two.
Certainly one of the things that happens is, you know, the fact is that HR professionals, business leaders are busy. And, you know, they're doing less with more, as I think everybody is in every profession out there today. And, you know, one thing that has happened is that the contact point between the employee and the candidate, the HR professional and the candidate, not only is taking longer, but there are less contacts, and sometimes you don't even find out what is going on. So talk a little bit about that.
That's so true. If you ask any employee, a lot of times if you ask what a chief gripe is about a particular company that they're working for, it's lack of communication. And it's no different from a candidate's point of view. There's definitely a lack of communication from the HR professional back to the candidate. It seems to be better with recruiters, but I think that's more of a salesman's mentality, and that's why. But from an HR recruiter, an in-house recruiter, it would be great if everything was mentioned up front. Your interview is going to be on this day. That's usually told from the beginning. Let us know who you're going to be interviewing with. I've had a few times where the contact from the HR professional has been, your interview is this particular day in this particular time, and I look forward to seeing you. To me, that indicates I'll be seeing them and only them. And it's happened a few times where I get there and I'm seeing them and two other people, people I was not prepared to see. I didn't have their names or their titles and didn't know I was going to be seeing them. So that information is missing. Also, they may not tell you how long it's going to be before the next, how long the process is going to take before they make a decision on the second interview. Sometimes they do tell you, and it's definitely not the correct amount of time. It does get frustrating because you as a candidate are trying to make decisions as to what the next thing you should do is. And if a particular interview went really well, you're really confident you're going to get called for that second interview, you might actually pass up another opportunity that you shouldn't have.
Do you think that the HR professional or the recruiter in this case may be, quote-unquote, selling the job, and the reality is that companies are selling a position to you just as much as you're selling yourself to them? Do you find that that is usually a good process, or do you find that they don't necessarily provide enough information for you to make an honest decision about what you might be working, I'm sorry, who you might be working with or what you might be doing?
I definitely feel there is not enough information given. You learn, as a candidate, you learn to do some research for the company, but there's just so much that you can learn on the web. And there's just so much information that's in the actual job posting. But if the HR professional gave you more information, that would really be helpful. I had one when I went in for an interview where the HR professional actually told me a little bit about the person that I would be seeing next, including his personality. And mentioned that if he seemed a little cold, not to take it personal, that was just his personality. And I thought that, although that would not be a normal thing that for an HR person to tell the candidate, I really appreciated it, because when I did get in for that interview, he was a little bit standoffish and a little bit cold. And if I didn't know that, I might have taken it the wrong way. More information about the company would be very helpful, even if it was just a cursory review of benefits and culture.
What are some of the tips that you might give HR professionals in terms of the process? A few things that might help with the overall process, letting them understand that the communication is key. You know, what are some reasonable timelines? Give a couple examples if you could.
I would say 1 week would be a reasonable timeline from the time of the first interview, even to contact the person that had been on the interview. Even if it's only to let them know that the process is still ongoing and they still have more first interviews to go through. That's fine, but I would say that it should not be more than 1 week. Something else that would be very beneficial is, just like outplacement agencies train and coach candidates to be a good interviewee, I believe that HR professionals within an organization should sit down with the other people in the organization that will be conducting interviews and give them the same type of coaching. I've been in some interviews where the people conducting the interview have been great. They've conducted themselves very well. They've asked all the right questions. They didn't ask any inappropriate questions. It was very thorough. They helped engage the interviewee in the conversation, and then I've had other ones that have been just awful at it. You feel that they probably haven't conducted an interview in 10 years. So the HR professional should be versed in all this and experienced in this, and I think it would be a good idea if they actually sat down with the other people in the organization to train them as well.
Well, I certainly would agree that certainly managers, leaders, all have their own different style, and HR, from a strategic role, should be out there and helping to make sure that the process is key. I think the other thing that is a important factor is that they are a brand. We talked a little on this show a few segments ago about branding as an HR company or an HR professional, so that you're out there and you're projecting your image. Well, every time you interact with a candidate, you are projecting an image, no different than the candidate is projecting an image to you. So every interaction matters, and so sometimes to have too long a delay or to have too long of a process, even if it's unavoidable, or at least not telling them about the process, does damage that brand.
Definitely. Definitely. I had one company that I had applied to, had a phone interview, heard nothing back, tried to contact them a number of times. Then other recruiters had asked me if I had applied for that position. And I let them know, yes, I did, but as it turns out, I haven't heard anything. And their reaction was, yes, we've heard that a lot. So the word was out about this particular company that they were very poor at getting back to their candidates, and the recruiters were not all that interested in placing people there.
What do you think are some of the challenges that job seekers actually face in terms of getting in front of the recruiter or the HR person or even a manager in a smaller company?
I've heard two schools of thought about applying for a position. I've had a number of recruiters ask me to present them with a position that I see in the paper that is posted by the company themselves, and perhaps they can get your name in front of the right person better than just applying online. And I've also heard at networking events that it doesn't necessarily matter one way or the other, and applying online means that they don't have to pay the recruiter their fee. So I would say that that's actually a pretty big challenge for the candidate to decide how to apply for a position. Naturally, if you know somebody within the company, that's the first way you want to go about it, is to go through them. But if you don't, just knowing how to apply and how to get your name in front of the right person is quite a challenge.
Some of the challenges job seekers face can be of their own doing, right? Not preparing for the interview properly, not making sure they know anything about the company, or not even branding themselves or presenting themselves well. Could you give a couple of the, you know, the things that you think about over the last 5 months that you've learned when you first started interviewing 5 months ago and what you do differently today?
Certainly, and I've heard some scary stories from some recruiters that have done some prep work. Before I go in, I research a company an awful lot more now than I did when I first started. I use my LinkedIn profile a lot and building my contacts and trying to find somebody who works for the company to find some more information. I also use Glassdoor.com to see if they're listed out there and read some of the reviews for the company. And anything that I can do to find any information out beforehand, I do. If I know the names of the people that I'm going to be interviewing with, I Google them. I look to see if they've been published. If they have, I read what they've published so that I can tell where they're coming from. I look through their LinkedIn profile, see where they've worked before, then see if I know of anybody that worked at those companies that might be able to give me some insight. These are things I did not do in probably the first 6 weeks. The first thing you have to do is to make sure that your resume is not just up to date, but in a good format. And that was painstakingly difficult to do. But once I did get my resume in a better format, I found I had a lot more bites.
Do you think that, or have you heard about automated systems that look for keywords or phrases or things on that resume? And do you think, you know, certainly we know at CMA we talk a lot about those automated systems, and that resume goes into that database, into that what I call the abyss. Tell me a little bit about that process and if you agree or disagree with that statement.
I would agree that they're being used, that they're being used for keywords. I've heard that from more than one source. I don't necessarily agree with the process, but I can understand where it's necessary. There are 300 to 500 job applicants for every position, and realistically, an HR department, an HR professional cannot comb through all of those. You need to have some sort of electronic filter to be able to do it. So as an applicant, you want to put everything you can, keywords, looking for any particular industry, so that your resume makes it through that very first pass. I've worked on a few different systems in my career, and there's one system that I've worked on just briefly, and I actually don't know as much about it, but I do have it listed, and the reason I have it listed is just in case it's used as a filter for a particular company when they're doing their first pass. If they're looking for someone with experience on that one particular system, I want to make sure that my resume is not ignored, so I list it.
What other types of key tips could you give for, in this case, a job seeker that they may not have thought of or that you have learned over the course of the last 5 months?
Think of ways that you, during your interview, think of ways that you can have the person interviewing you picture you already in the position. Ask the person who is interviewing you to tell you about a particular challenge. And then when you are describing how you would solve that problem, do it in the first person. Say, well, when I start here, I would do this, or I would approach it this way, or rather, I will approach it this way. Something so that they can visualize you already in the position.
How about accomplishments or things that you've done?
That I've personally done?
Yeah. How about accomplishments and telling HR professionals how you're going to be able to do the task or job that you're looking for? Do you think examples are critical?
Oh, yes, ideally. Ideally, if you've already done it, you can say, when I was at such and such, I approached it this way, and I would use the same methodology once I'm in the position here. It, most definitely, if you've already solved the problem that they have, then you should use that as an example, proving that you've done it, telling how you've done it, and then ending with how successful it was and how it improved the department and the organization. If you can attach numbers to that example, such as I've saved the company this amount or revenue was boosted by this amount, that's the ideal situation. That's the ideal example.
We're talking with Nancy Martin. This is the HR Power Hour. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane,
Schenectady by Saturday.
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is rad!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry, I'm a hugger.
Guys, discomfort and chafing from wetness-related friction can hit any time. Get relief and prevent it too with Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder for your feet and Body Powder for your, you know. Whether you're working out or just holding down the couch, you're a guy. And unlike baby powders, Gold Bond's got the medicated formulas to fight itch, odor, and wetness. Plus, it's got that cooling kick that lets you know it's working wherever. Keep it cool with Gold Bond Medicated Foot and Body Powders. It's a guy thing. Use as directed.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
Fram filters can take a beating. At the Fram Proving Grounds, they get the pound test, where they're hit with 100 PSI of pressure every second for 30,000 seconds. This leads to tough, tested Fram filters, like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. Don't settle for a cheaper filter. Use Fram Extra Guard. Tested, proven, and pounded into shape at the Fram Proving Grounds. Fram, don't fail your engine. See us hit our filters with more tests at Fram.com.
And we're back with Nancy Martin. This is News Talk WLOB HR Power Hour. And we're excited to have you back on the program, Nancy.
Thank you, David.
You know, one of the things that we talked about during the break is you said you might have one or two more tips for the HR professional. And before we go into a next segment, I would love to hear them. So go ahead.
Yes, it's in regards to business cards. Obviously, as a candidate, I have my own networking business cards. But there have been a number of times I've been on interviews where the person interviewing me did not bring their business cards to the interview. Most interviews are not held in somebody's office. They're often held in a conference room, either in the off the front lobby or some other conference room. And at the end of the interview, I've always asked for the person's business card. Most of the time, the people interviewing me have forgotten them back at their desk. At that point, you have to ask for contact information because you need to send that follow-up email within one day to the person, thanking them for their interview. If you can, include in that email some additional information, perhaps follow up to something, some sort, part of the discussion that you had with them. If they mentioned a problem and you found something on the internet that might be helpful to them, you want to include that in the email. But I think the HR professional at the organization should remind the person conducting the interview, make sure you bring your business cards to the interview so that you can hand it out to the candidate.
Well, that certainly would make it easier for the thank you or the reminder message that you need to send back. Tell me one of the other surprises that you discovered as you went into the interview process, something that you maybe didn't think would happen but did happen, or maybe have an example of something that was a big surprise.
I've been asked for references at the first first interview, which, on a couple of them that I was not prepared for. I am now. I make sure that I bring my list of references. I've had to complete the entire job application while sitting in the lobby, which is usually a little difficult because you don't necessarily have all that information with you. So as an interviewee, you should always bring multiple copies of your resume with you. You should bring multiple copies of your references with you. You should bring the paperwork that you need to complete an I-9. I've been asked for that as well, although that's usually with a recruiter versus an actual interview at an actual organization. But you should have it with you. I've been asked for some of that information a lot of times and didn't have it with me the first couple of months. After that, I've learned my lesson, and now I carry it with me.
And those are good tips for people who are out there to really know what's going on and make sure that you have everything with you, because I've actually had some candidates say, well, I have that in my car and go out and get it. But the fact is, if you have it with you, you show you're prepared, then it doesn't hurt to bring everything with you and have every possible piece of paper necessary, from references to obviously more copies of your resume in case they don't happen to have that in the office, or they weren't able to print it because maybe the printer broke or something happened. So it's very important to be prepared for those interviews. Do you see any trends with some of the key questions or some of the key areas in the job search that you've been on, some of the key questions that you say to yourself, geez, you know, I'm hearing a lot of these type of questions?
Yes, I've noticed on a lot of interviews where they've asked me what systems I've worked on, and there are a number of different accounting. Myself coming from the accounting background, there are a number of different accounting systems, and there are some large names within the industry, Oracle and SAP being two of them. But if you haven't worked on them, sometimes the interviewee the tone will change during the interview because that's what they were looking for. So as a candidate, if they ask you if you have experience on a particular system or have experience with something that you might not have an extensive amount of time working with, you should not answer the question just no. And I have found that instead of saying, no, I don't have any experience with SAP, my response is followed with, well, although I might not have experience specifically with SAP, if you'll notice from my resume, I have experience with a number of different systems, and I'm very adaptable and learn very quickly with whichever system I happen to find myself using. As you know, lots of companies will change from one system to the other, and then everybody is learning at the same time, and I've gone through a few system integrations with great success.
That's a great idea, and I think that's certainly a good tip for somebody who's out there looking. So, Nancy, we're coming to the end of the show today, and I want to first thank you very much for your time and your insight into what people can do and HR professionals can do to, you know, help the candidate out in the job market today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience?
Yes, I'll give one last final tip, actually, for the interviewee, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
When you arrive at the business that you're going to be interviewing at, if you can do this prior to going to the actual office, it's better. But find yourself the restroom. Give one last check of your attire. Make sure there's no spinach in the teeth. Use the facility so that you don't have to ask for a break during the middle of an interview. Take deep breaths. Calm down. Realize it's an interview and that you'll get through it, and then you'll go in with a much clearer frame of mind, and you will be cleared of everything else.
No, that is a great tip. And I think that everybody that's looking for a job should absolutely think about what you just said. It is, in fact, an interview. You are talking. You're selling yourself. And you need to realize that you need to be relaxed to give your best answers. So that's great. Nancy, I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.